You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
I managed to get hold of Charlie Lewis from Crikey, and he's written an article about conspiracy in America. Good afternoon, Charlie. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Oh, that's good. Now, you've just written an article for Crikey, and Trump, Epstein, and the conspiratorial core of the United States. So we'll just run through a few of the conspiracies over time, and finishing with Epstein. And as we go along, as we go along, it gets darker.
Yes, alas, it does. Yes.
Okay, so let's. I'm going to start with one back in 1947, in Roswell, New Mexico. Roswell.
Oh yeah.
There was some debris found, and it was said to be from outer space, from aliens. But it turned out to be a balloon, a military balloon, and that sort of has been confirmed. But there's still people who believe that it was from outer space. The issue of I think of conspiracies is that people like to believe in that people aren't being straight with them.
Yes, absolutely, and I think there's a reason that they are, as you say in your interview, in your intro, as American as apple pie. I think there is a very interesting disjunct in at the core of American politics, which maybe isn't as prominent in Australian politics, which is I think a very very core feature of their understanding of the role of government is distrust. From the very get-go, there is a very strong core of kind of cynicism towards the idea of big government. There's a big chunk of the founding fathers believe that government's best role could be to get out of the way, to protect property, and to do very little more than that.
The Reagan sort of position.
Sorry?
The Ronald Reagan kind of position.
Absolutely, absolutely. He was expressing something that was pretty deep in the American psyche. So the idea that. The idea that the powers that be are not being straight with us is a very attractive one. And it's also, I mean, we'll get into a lot of this as we go along, I'm sure. But it's also that these things often take root because there's a grain of truth to it. There are several things that have been dismissed as conspiracy over the years that have ended up having some grain of truth to them. So I guess those are the two kind of ways that I think they've become particularly ingrained in American politics.
I guess
and Trump obviously has been a great exploiter of that trait.
The big doozy of this, of course, is the JFK assassination.
Absolutely, yes. That's kind of, I think in the pre-Trump era, that's the kind of real peak of very mainstream conspiratorial thinking in U.S. politics. Again, we wouldn't have time, even if you had me on for several hours, to go through all of the different theories about what really occurred. But it's an interesting one because the reason that I picked that as the kind of real peak of the mainstreaming of these things is that there was, some of your listeners may remember, a very, very successful film about the aftermath of the John F. Kennedy assassination, directed by Oliver Stone, which was nominated for several Oscars, made hundreds of millions of dollars worldwide. And it really is a deeply, deeply conspiratorial retelling of the story. And it's an interesting one. I mean, I go into a bit of detail in the piece with this one because it's a funny one. Looking at that film and thinking they've really missed a trick there, because the real story of what Kennedy did and what he kept from the American people is fascinating and would be the basis for a really interesting thriller. Instead, you get this idea, the idea put forward in JFK by Oliver Stone is that it's based on a book by a New Orleans district attorney called Jim Garrison, who claims to have kind of gotten to the bottom of the real reason, the real people who murdered Kennedy and why. And in the film's telling, it's basically this kind of cabal of military industrial type figures who believe that John F. Kennedy is going to withdraw America from the Vietnam War, which was then in its early stages under his presidency. And but basically with the implicit approval of his vice president and then successor Lyndon Johnson. Basically, the murder is suborned in for that reason. Now, that actually goes against everything that Kennedy campaigned on when he was running for president. It goes against everything he did while he was in office. But it kind of provides this consoling myth that had this one thing gone different, if we could have just stopped this happening, then the kind of the horrible traumas of the Vietnam War and everything that led to in the US could be avoided.
Yeah, an alternative theory, though, is that it was the mob. Kennedy.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, there was. I mean, again, a lot of this stuff has been sort of ventilated since. And again, this would be a basis for a very interesting film, I think. But was one of the many women that Kennedy was allegedly involved with outside of his marriage was a woman called Judith Campbell Exner, who was also involved with the Chicago mob boss called Sam Giancana. And she later claimed that she facilitated several meetings between the pair to basically help enlist the mob's help in getting Kennedy elected. There's also other theories around, say, the role of Frank Sinatra, who had similar connections.
Because he knew Sam Giancana.
He did, and he was a very, very big fan of Kennedy. He did songs for his campaign, and
in fact, he did. And then Kennedy dumped him because of the mafia connections.
That's correct. Yes, and it sort of changed the whole political bent of Sinatra's life. He was so hurt by the whole process that he kind of drifted over to the Republicans and became a very enthusiastic supporter of Ronald Reagan. And maybe that was partly also just as he got a little older and a bit more conservative. But yeah.
This is fascinating stuff. Imagine Judith Campbell Exner sleeping with both Sam Giancana and John Kennedy, JFK. interesting pillow talk there.
Yes, absolutely. No, privy to some interesting things, I'm sure. Yeah.
Now,
the other kind of big thing that is now kind of very accepted as part of the Kennedy's time in office that he absolutely kept from the American people was his huge array of various kind of health problems and maladies that required a cocktail of various medications and drugs just to kind of keep him upright. He had terrible pains with his back, horrible stomach issues, all manner of kind of things that, again, would have probably very much changed his view, the American public's view of him as a very young, vigorous kind of strapping young president.
What's amazing about that is not only was he able to be president, but he was able to cavort with so many different women.
Yes. He was nothing if not organized, I suppose.
So getting just very briefly, the mafia issue, because the mafia had helped put him in power. They'd helped rig the elections in Chicago along with the mayor of Chicago. He carried Chicago and won the election by a very narrow margin. And the mob expected, I think, some sort of payback.
That is one strong theory that is because I think again another thing to kind of to look at, and I think again something that's kind of reasonably well accepted amongst kind of scholars of the period is that the Warren Commission was a very inadequate investigation and left more questions than it answered. So there are those sorts of threads that haven't necessarily been pulled on as much as they might have been.
Well, he appointed Bobby Kennedy as his attorney general, which is a nice bit of nepotism there. And
yes.
Bobby went full on against the mafia. And so they were,
yes,
to
yes,
say
absolutely.
The least, irritated by this. They'd done their bit to get him elected, and here his brother
absolutely.
Goes...
And of course, there's the connections between that and the union movement, the Teamsters and
yeah.
figures like Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa, yeah.
Absolutely. It was. I mean, whatever else you want to say about that, that was quite a brave move from Bobby Kennedy.
Anyway, that's all up in the air, but I think personally that I do think that needs to be explored just a bit more.
Conspiracist,
but yeah. So,
also, I mean, just to quickly tie off the Kennedy stuff more recently, I think, again, the depth of this kind of focus for US conspiracy theorists is that on November 2021, a lot of QAnon adherents, and we might get into a bit more detail about what those guys believe, gathered in Dallas believing that Kennedy's son, JFK Jr., was going to appear that day and announce and announced that he was going to run with Trump as his vice president. Yes, JFK had been dead since 1999. So the yearning for the Kennedy thing, and I'm sure Robert Kennedy Jr. Role in the administration is also a bit of a part of that, but it's very deep.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. Just before we finish with the Kennedys, there was the issue of Marilyn Monroe, and that both brothers were, I think, slept with her.
Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly, we'll use that word allegedly. And there's always been a question mark of whether Bobby Kennedy was in her apartment before she killed herself.
That's something I haven't looked into too much, so I wouldn't want to comment either way on the veracity of anything like that. But yeah.
These are all pre... personalized computers and online stuff, social media. It's inconceivable that the sorts of things that JFK was doing could happen today, one would think.
Yeah, to some degree, yeah.
Now, moving on then, 9/11, there's conspiracy theories there too, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think the September 11 theories again could and do fill several books. And there are some very, very grubby theories that attend that, which we don't need to ventilate here, but no. the most common one is that it was in some way the idea of an inside job. It was something that the Bush administration, the George W. Bush administration at the time, either were actively involved in the attack in some way or were very aware that it was going to happen and allowed it to proceed with on the proviso that it would justify an attack on Iraq and Afghanistan, that the resources in Iraq particularly would be available to America through that process, and also that it would allow a very big expansion of the surveillance state in the U.S., which it did, and that it would lead to more crackdowns on civil liberties, both of which kind of did end up happening. And again, the one of the things I try and do with the piece is tie these things to the modern moment and to Trump in particular, because he is in this and many other ways, I think, the purest expression of a lot of very core elements of the American political psyche. So Trump, in the lead up to the last election, on the anniversary of September 11 last year, he attended a fire station in Lower Manhattan with some of the firemen who attended and survived the attacks, in the company of Laura Loomer, who is a kind of far-right activist and an internet personality who has been pushing the barrow, the idea that there was an inside job element to 9/11 for years.
And she's something of a confidant for Trump, isn't she?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. They are seemingly quite close. Yes.
All right. So that was a madcap conspiracy theory, but it probably still, I have a lot of people.
Oh, wait, sorry, I may have misheard you, David. Sorry, what was the madcap?
I'm just saying the 9/11, the inside job, and Laura Loomer, who is quite influential with Donald Trump.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes, sorry, yes. They are reasonably close, yes.
Yeah, this is Drive Tuesday. I'm David Byrne. I'm speaking with Charlie Lewis from Crikey, who's written an article about conspiracy theories in America. Well, now, Charlie, this brings us to the big one now, Epstein and all the things that swirl around it, like QAnon and Pizzagate and all that sort of stuff.
Sorry, go on, David.
In a sense, it's coming back to bite Trump on the bum, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. He has fed on the impulse towards conspiratorial thinking in the U.S. for his entire time as a kind of mainstream political candidate, or even, I guess, prior to being a mainstream candidate. Of course, the main ways he's done this, partly it's to discredit his opponents or discredit his critics, Again, going back to JFK, he endorsed a story that implied that the father of Senator Ted Cruz, who was his opponent in the 2016 primaries for the Republican nomination, that his father had been involved in the JFK assassination in one way or another.
Totally groundless.
Oh, absolutely groundless, yes. This was based on a news story that the National Enquirer put out, and the editor at the time, a few years later, said we basically wholesale made it up. It was absolutely not a grain of truth to it. So throughout his presidency, he's done this. Obviously, the other huge one is his baseless claims that the 2020 election, which he narrowly lost to Joe Biden, was in some way stolen or was kind of the product of massive voter fraud, which, again, is a whole other area of political life we could get into. But yes, he, like many high-profile American political figures, had at one stage been friendly with the deceased financier and sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, who died reportedly by suicide in his jail cell in 2019 after he was
charged. That's a whole other story too, isn't it?
Which is a whole other story as well. Well, again, within hours of the reporting on Epstein's death, someone online, I can't remember who, but a conspiracy theorist said, Jeffrey Epstein knew all about Bill Clinton and now he's dead. Trump retweeted that. So he was happily kind of buying into the idea that Epstein was in some way, or that the Clintons in some ways were connected to Epstein in a nefarious way.
Well, all these conspiracies, the recent ones who are much darker than the earlier ones, they talk about the deep state, also in that are the Clintons. They very much feature in this, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. They are longtime targets of this kind of thinking, and I guess this probably is a good time to kind of quickly just sketch the broad outlines of the QAnon movement, which kind of generally believes, which for one thing has invested Trump with a kind of messianic kind of power. He is, at the core, he is the kind of savior of all the things that they think are wrong with the world. What they believe is that there is a kind of a satanic ring of kind of international elites who are, yes, satanic, drink children's blood, and are child sex offenders as well. So the charges that were laid against Epstein, that he had been involved in this, were kind of the closest they were ever going to get, potentially, to a kind of confirmation of some of their views on the world. So the idea that Trump and Trump campaigned very heavily in 2024 about making more information available to the public about the Epstein case, the idea of the quote-unquote Epstein files. And in 2024, he campaigned quite hard on making those things more public. Earlier this month, the Department of Justice kind of concluded their investigation and concluded that essentially there was nothing to see here. They concluded that Epstein had killed himself. He hadn't been murdered in his jail cell. That there was no client list to be released, and that no one further was going to be charged with anything. So this is obviously deeply, deeply unsatisfying to Trump supporters, who believe that he was going to blow the lid off this kind of international conspiracy regarding all these child abusers.
Which would be mainly Democrats, of course.
Well, in Trump's telling, that's all it was. It was entirely Democrats. And then, of course, in classic Trump style, when it starts to turn on him and people are unsatisfied with his work, he starts complaining that the entire idea of there being a conspiracy was a hoax cooked up by the Democrats to attack him and distract from all his great achievements in office. So he's got an answer for everything. But I think what's really interesting about this one is that Trump has been, whatever else you think about him, Trump has always been a genius at controlling the narrative around him. Even if he's saying bad things about him, you're generally saying it on the terms he would prefer things to be discussed in. And he's very good at launching some outrageous broadside on social media or making some mad policy announcement when the going gets tough to kind of crowd out. And it's called flooding the zone, is the name they have for that, which is the idea that you kind of crowd out any one particular story and you exhaust everyone with just constant rolling scandals that everyone feels are very important for a minute and then they forget about. He's not really been able to do that in this case. We're still talking about it a month later. And more importantly, for his purposes, his supporters, his kind of base, the kind of like online far-right kind of commentary movement that generally support everything he does, they're still angry at him about this. He can't seem to shift the dial.
Yeah, they kind of, him and his administration are kind of being hoisted on their own petard, because you have the FBI director, Kash Patel, who was heavily involved in conspiracy theories, as was his deputy, Dan Bongino, and Pam Bondi, I don't know if he's Bondi or Bondi, the attorney general, was also involved in this sort of thing. Now they've had to walk that back, and it's become, at the very least, a serious embarrassment to them. But
absolutely, yes, yes.
It's undermining Patel Trump. When,
yes, yes, and Patel obviously did... promise that if he was ever made the head of the FBI, he would shut it down and make it into a museum of the deep state. Like, yeah, these are all people who have been using this kind of rhetoric for a very long time, and yes, you said it's very hard. Those people, the people that voted for them, or at least that chunk of those people that voted for him, believed him on this stuff and really did think that he was sincere on it, and. Yeah, so basically I think that's the thing, is that when there have been other scandals, the attempt to extort political favors from the leadership of Ukraine in 2019, which led to his first impeachment, or even the election theft stuff to a degree, or the Stormy Daniels payment, or any number of these things that would have been terminal for any other politician. That stuff didn't apparently shift anyone's mind all that much in terms of his voting base. No one minded all that much, because it wasn't really the territory that he won them on, if that makes sense. But he won a lot of voters by playing to this conspiratorial thinking. I think it's very hard to then shift.
The other thing is he's captured the evangelical market, and I think their attitude was, well, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. He's yes. given us Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is delivering to us the kinds of things we want, and therefore we tolerate other things that he's done. While I'm on this religious theme, there's the QAnon people believe in the storm, that there will be a savior like Donald Trump, mm-hmm. who will drain the swamp, who will expose all the elites and put them in jail and whatever. And so they have their what they call the storm when all this would happen. And this is very much on the parallel with the rapture that the evangelicals go for, isn't it? The storm is like...
Yeah, absolutely. That's an interesting analogy, and absolutely. I mean, as you say, it's a pretty explicitly messianic power that they've invested Trump in particular with, is the idea of him, yes, of a sort of divinely ordained figure who's going to come down and clear all these things up, and
especially
and again, yes,
when he survives an assassination attempt.
Absolutely, there. I mean, it does lend itself to that kind of thinking. There's a resurrected vibe perhaps going on there. And yes, I suppose also that he has been in his supporters' view, horribly persecuted by the state for many years for simply telling the truth or simply trying to serve his people. It really does fit with that narrative for a lot of people.
It's going to be interesting to see how he gets out of this. I mean, getting him is like trying to nail jelly to a wall, though, isn't it? He's always managed to get out of these things, and now he's sort of saying that Obama is guilty of treason. He's deflecting and saying these outrageous things about a previous president.
Yeah, but I actually followed up on that stuff today, and I noted a few of the things that he's been doing in the last week. Again, as you say, accusing the former president Barack Obama of treason and reposting some AI generated footage of him being kind of hauled away and put into jail. He also withdrew the U.S. from UNESCO again. He's demanding that a few American sports franchises who have changed their names recently away from kind of racially sensitive references to Indigenous Americans. He's demanding that they kind of change their names back. So all kinds of, yeah, kind of classic, classic Trump flood the zone kind of moments. But again, I don't think it's working the way it used to. I think people are still still, I think the people who matter to him are still going to be focused on the Epstein thing for as long as
they want the files.
yeah. I think. I mean, so he's they made a move in the last week to interview Ghislaine Maxwell, who's obviously a longtime associate of Epstein and the only person so far to be put in jail for anything that he did. And I suppose there's a sense that that might mollify a few of his supporters, the idea that they are still digging, they're still trying to get to the end of it. There is obviously the innate credibility issue with someone like Maxwell, who, you know, has already been convicted and presumably would say anything if it got her off. But maybe that's a path forward. But again, it's still people talking about it. It's still going to be dominating. Yeah,
one can't help but be suspicious that a deal might be done with Ghislaine Maxwell, whereby she kind of exonerates Donald Trump, says he had nothing to do with any of it, the stuff. For some sort of pardon or reduction of sentence or something.
Absolutely, and that's he has already been asked about that, and sort of he's been a bit coy, but yes, I mean, speculating too much, you'd have to say there is a strong incentive, and I don't think that anyone representing Maxwell or she herself could be in any confusion over what Trump would like her to say. I guess that's probably as much as I would say at this point.
Yeah. Very interesting times. Just now, before you came on, I played a YouTube, I don't know if you've seen it, new hit song, Releasing the Files. And it's a song and dance routine by a couple of actors that look like Jeffrey and Donald, set to sort of 30s swing music in a nightclub. It's worth looking at. It's on YouTube.
I have not caught that. I will check it out.
yeah, you will. there's a long way still to go on this, Charlie. But look, it's lovely talking to you again. Thanks very much.
Lovely to have you. Lovely to chat with you too. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah. You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.